So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come and worship. May your Holy Spirit speak to us, speak to our hearts, and help us build the church together to glorify your name. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. I don't believe there's a perfect church in this world. There are only two churches. Church with fewer problems and church with more problems. If you try to look for a perfect church, by the time you enter the church, that church is no longer perfect because you are not perfect. We are human beings, but God allows weaknesses in church mainly to help us so that we can learn together and build together so that we can also grow spiritually. How to handle church conflicts? Using the passage I just mentioned, in early church in Acts 6:1-7, they came across with some problems. So we can learn from this example of the early church. If there's some problems with the church, how should we handle? I think there are basically five principles I can glean from this passage. Expect there will be problems. Even very good church, really blessed church, will have problems. The second point is that try to handle problem with a positive attitude. Don't just complain. Try to build up together. The third one is that try to improve and do discipleship and choose faithful leaders to guide us. And when you do that, respect them. The fourth principle is that now that we have different leaders in the church, we should have proper division of labor. The elders do their jobs, the deacons do their jobs, the congregation do their job. And if we do that, the solve problems actually brings a lot of blessings to the church. God allows problems in the church. It's actually mainly to test us, at the same time, give a chance to love each other, learn from each other, and build the church together. So let's look at the first point, 6:1. Problems may arise even under good circumstances. Could I ask the ladies, our sister, to read that together? Sisters, please. So you can see that in this first verse, in the first part, in those days, the number of disciples was increasing. In fact, this is a very blessed church. Peter preached. One time, 5,000 came to Christ. And the next time, maybe 3,000 coming to Christ. Now this is a big church with thousands of people, just adults. If you count the children, the ladies together, it's much more than that. So this is obviously, a very rapidly growing church with a lot of blessings. They even share their property, their treasure, so that they can help the poor. They share their properties and assets together. So this is a very good church. But even in this good church, there's some problem. Because they find two groups. There are Hellenistic Jews and also Hebrew Jews. They said, when you distribute the food, you're not doing it equally. There's bias. There's a racial discrimination. It seems that racial discrimination is not a recent issue. It has been long with human history. Even then, there's complaint that we Hellenistic Jews is being overlooked, and you bias against us, and it's mainly for the Hebrew Jews that gets a bigger share, so you overlook in the distribution of food. So the first point from this verse is that expect it. Even very good church will have problems. God allows that. It's the how do you handle the issue. Applying to our church, one time we have this congregational meeting here, and then Elder Dan and other people lead that meeting, and we open our hearts and listen to the opinion, ideas from our church members. And from then, the deacon board come up with three major goals for this year. For 2019, the theme is the church's renewal. And within the three renewal, we mentioned three major goals. The first one is the worship service. How can we improve our worship service? The second one is to build up the small groups, the fellowships. And the third one is to improve our building and ground. So we only have concrete steps to keep improving the church with your help. Because every church has its problems. We're not perfect. Let's work together. At that time, the church is growing, but with the growing church, there's some divisions coming. The Hellenistic Jews and also the Hebrew Jews. They find that the Hellenistic Jews were overlooked. So there's grumbling, there's complaint. If they do not handle well the world, there will be church division. But God allows this. God allows problems in the church. It's a test whether we can handle the issue correctly. So, we CCCC also have our issues. We'd like to have the theme this year on renewal. At the same time, our deacon board also set up three goals. To improve our worship service, whether in terms of preaching, in terms of the singspiration, prayer. And the second one is to build up our small groups, discipleship and fellowship, leadership. And the third one is the physical area, the building a ground so that when our kids have a playing ground, it will be safe and a very good time together. So there's three concrete goals we try to address this year. From the passage, I have the second point. When there are problems, you need to choose the right attitude. There are two approaches to face problems. One is negative, the other is positive. And God wants us to deal with the problems together in a positive attitude. So let's read that together. Let's go. So the so 12 apostles do what? The way they deal with that is a very positive manner. Instead of suppressing opinion, they open up. Instead of talking to a small group, they add all these disciples together. So we are dealing the issues in an open-minded manner. Open up and talk about it. We address this issue that we apostles are not doing a good job in sharing the food because we need to preach, we need to share the gospel, we need to pray, sometimes to help out. It ends up that we are so busy that we're not doing the job right. So we admit the problem. So it's very important for the leadership to admit a problem and attack the problem head on. Instead of suppressing that, we open up and talk about it and try to come up with issues together. That's the right attitude. So the leaders take initiative. They want to find a way to edify the church. They know that church problem is not cannot be avoided. In fact, they may be a blessing in disguise. It's how we address the problem. Address the problem step by step. Always keep it open-minded. Church problems always arise. It's how you handle that. If you handle it right, you bring blessings to the church. If you handle it incorrectly, Satan will have a good time. Either if you're using human tendency, say, okay, this is a lousy church. Let's quit. Don't come to this church. Or you say, okay, then I do not belong to this church. I'll come and visit you sometimes. This month I come in once. Next month I'm not here. You're just a visitor. Or you sit at Sinai and complain, grumbling all the time. Even worse, you form cliques in the church. You find that my words are not heard, so I find several people who have the same mind and talk and spread rumors. And that, Satan will have a love time, good time, and through that, he can divide the church easily. Just like the early church, the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebrew Jews, they complain with each other. So if it's not handled well, right away, there will be two churches. Church division right away. So it's very important that you have to deal with the problems in godly manner. What's the godly manner? You understand you are the member of the family. You're not just visitors. This is a part of your family. Family always a problem, right? But we love each other, so we handle the problems. Positively, lovingly. And then you take the initiative. You take the right channel to voice your opinion. You don't just gossip behind. You don't just form cliques. We talk together and we communicate face to face and try to find a solution. We will not find a perfect solution for sure. But we keep improving. Because the process actually is very edifying, and through that we grow spiritually. And then because of that, it pleases God, and God will give more people. So there are two ways to handle problems. One is to do it in the human way, and then Satan will have a good time. Or in doing it God's way, then Satan will have a hard time, and church will multiply quickly. So that happens in the early church. Then the apostles were open-minded. They said, okay, let's talk about that. Instead of suppressing that, let's talk about issues and call all the disciples. What's the issues? How should we handle that? We pray about that. We try to find a solution. So the second thing is that when you have problems, try to deal with that in a positive manner. Let's talk about the third point. Try to choose faithful leaders to share the word. Don't just concentrate on the work of several people, but when you choose them, respect them. So, 6:3, let me ask the brothers to read that together. Brothers, go ahead. So the apostles say that if it's just relying on us, we have only several, not many people. And then we have to do all the work. We have to do preaching, we have to do praying at the same time. We're also taking off the dishwasher of food. And then we cannot get focused. And we have to do anything. We have to do preaching, you have to do praying, we have to do distributing, and we did nothing right. So that's why there's a lot of complaints. So how about that? Let's cultivate, let's give more opportunity for other leaders to emerge, and not just us. We can cultivate and choose people who are full of spirit and wisdom. And then we share the work, and we dedicate the work to them. We can concentrate while they themselves take care of the distribution of food. So they come up with a good idea. On one hand, you cultivate leaders, giving opportunities, right? On the other hand, they can be more concentrated, not so tired, not exhausted. So take an idea and choose. And he emphasized, you need to choose leaders of heart, full of spirit and wisdom. You say, what a big deal. It's only giving up food, right? It seems to set a standard very high. Just giving out food, why do you have the people who have the full wisdom and spirit? I don't look lightly on this issue. Now, they may not be people who really dig the dishes for you, but they have to manage, right? If they do not manage well, if they have the mindset of being biased, what happened? Then the Hellenistic Jews will complain again. You don't listen to us. You just have cosmetics. You just do some face service, right? You're not showing the issues. Let's go. A complaint is not heard. So it's got to find some people, although they're doing something look like a mundane job, but you have to find people, the right people, who are fair-minded, open-minded, fair, and full of the Spirit. It's not so much what they do, it's how they do it that reflect the glory of the Lord. So that's why the apostles say that we dedicate authority, but we have to got to choose people very correctly. They have a certain spiritual qualification, and they have a good serving attitude. So my encouragement to the deacon is that, on one hand, you need to thank God. The very fact that you are in this church, we have quite a few, I think we have six deacons, right? We have six deacons on the board, right? For our six deacons, we have to give thanks. So even you being chosen as deacons, you need to give thanks, because this is a wonderful job. God trusts you. The second one, that you have to be faithful. Don't just get a name. Now that you are in that position, you have to fulfill the task. Otherwise, because of you not making the task right, you're dragging the church. You have to fulfill your obligations and try to be humble. Listen to congregations. Let them have the right channel to reflect their opinion. And most important of all, you get close to God. You may have good daily devotion. Because it's not through your might, your power. It's through the Holy Spirit you guide the church. The God will give you the wisdom and the power. So that's why it emphasizes, it's not just ordinary people, it's people with wisdom and what? With the Holy Spirit. So as deacons, not only you're doing something for the church, but at the same time, you have to give thanks that God gives you the possessions, at the same time, be faithful, and most of all, have good daily devotion. Depend on the Lord for your strength. And the congregation, on the other hand, we have to give thanks for the deacons because they're all workers. They're full-time workers, right? They're already full-time workers. Then they have to put a lot of time in the church. So we have to give thanks for them. We praise them. We support them. Don't just complain. Because they're human beings, right? They also have their work. They also have full-time jobs. They're very fact they're willing to spend time in the church and help us. We have to praise them. We have to support them. And more importantly, if they ask you to help, yes, I can do that. Don't just say, okay, you are elected deacon. You do it. I'm just a church comer. That's not the way to run the church. There's no way that six deacons can handle all the things of the church. It's just they are coordinators so that all people who love this church will stand up and contribute to the church. Don't just sit there. And you do it in a what? In a positive manner. In an active manner. Don't just be called. You said, okay, can I help? In what way can I help? Because this is the way to build a church. It's not drag you along. You said, we're willing. We appreciate you people already put a lot of time on Didigan board. What can we do to help you out? There's no way to run a church with 100, more than 100 people, or close to 200 people, with just 70 people. We've got to build a church together, right? We need to respect them and support them. Now that we have the elders, the apostles, we also have the deacons. Then we have to have good division of labor. Don't mix them up. Otherwise, we just repeat the same thing, and then we do not concentrate. As a result, jobs are not well done. So let's look at the passage 6:4 from the passage. Let's read it together. Let's go. And here he talks about the division of church labor. The reason that the apostles are not doing a good job in distributing food is that they have multiple tasks. Multitasking actually is not a gift. People multitask actually, they do nothing well. You got to concentrate, right? So they are the pastors, they are the elders, their major task to pray and preach, right? Share the message, evangelize, and pastoral care and brothers and sisters, and also look at the big vision of the church, the long-term trend, the strategy of church. They have to look at the big picture, care for the sheep, and deliver message to encourage them. That is their task. They have to pray. You cannot give the elders, the apostles, always, oh, you share, you set a good example, you share the food. If you ask them to share the food all the time, how do they pray? How do they preach? That happens to a lot of churches too. I go to share in many churches. There are big churches and there are small churches. Big churches, they have luxury. They have their senior pastors, they have assistant pastor, they're pastor of fellowship, they're pastor for discipleship, you name it. They also have a secretary. So the main pastor just pray and concentrate on the message. They spend a lot of time in preparing the message. They have a very impactful message on Sunday. But when you go to small churches, what do the pastors do? They serve as deacons. Not even deacons, they're just ordinary workers. Because the congregation complained, oh, you're the pastor, we're a small church, you need to do all the things because you need to set an example. So when I need to move the house, pastor, come over and help me. Oh, we have to move some furniture. Please come and help, set an example. On the surface, it's right, right? It's an example. But if you do that, you overburden the elders. And they cannot concentrate. What do they have time to? How can they have time to pray? How do they have time to prepare a message and deliver good, impactful message? And it becomes a vicious cycle. That happens to a lot of churches. There's a vicious cycle. When they treat the pastor, the elders, as if they are co-workers or deacons and everything, they have to go and work. What happened? They don't have time. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to prepare the message. As a result, the message on Sunday is not so good. And when the Sunday is not so good, the congregation complains, we're not well fed. And since we're not well fed, how about why we bother? We just sit at the sideline. It becomes a vicious cycle. Because you're not motivated. You don't want to help out. You even walk away. And the pastor came as what? Have to do more. When you do more, what happened? He has less time to pray, to prepare the message. That becomes a vicious cycle. So when we run church, we need to run the church in godly manner. So what's the benign cycle? And this way, the early church, they set up disciples, the deacons. Deacons share the work of the apostles and do this carrying out work. That's why the work deacons, executive, carrying out the orders, carrying all the things, coordinate so that the congregation help out and rebuild the church together. Let the pastor, let the apostles be the apostle. Because the apostle, what's the primary task? Is to pray and preach. To care, pastoral care. So brothers and sisters, if you love this church, you have to understand this division of labor. Don't just call the pastor all the way, oh, please help and move my house. Or I have something. Of course, sometimes when you move something to the church, it's on Tuesday, on Wednesday, nobody around. The pastor's very willing to help and help out. Nobody around. But you take it as an exception, not as a rule. That task belongs to the deacons, and also deacons direct to the congregation. If you do not have a clear division labor, you create a vicious cycle for the church. The pastor cannot do his job, the elder cannot do his job, then the message will not be well prepared. And then you say that we are not well fed, that you're not more well motivated, you say, don't care. You don't even want to stay in the church anymore. Now, no one is perfect. Everyone has weaknesses. So we have to come together and help the church together. We build the church together. There's a division of labor. The pastors, deacons, and congregation all have to shape up to build a church. In fact, we have an idea. Maybe we can, if situation allows, we can hire maybe a secretary so that the pastors, the elders, do not need to all the time calling people, hey, can you give rise or prepare the bulletin? Spending a lot of time on that and not having any time to pray and visit pastoral care on different message because they're doing a lot of mundane job. If situation allows, maybe we can have a part-time secretary and shield up the pastors, protect them. So whenever there's need, that person will be the contact point. And there's some special issue, then they pass to the pastor. Otherwise, that person can direct already and spare the elders so that they can concentrate on the work. Does it make sense? So, since the problem appears, while the apostles have open-minded, let's talk about it. Call all the people together and find a solution together. And then we say, we find the deacons who are filled with wisdom and spirit, and we share and dedicate with them so that we can concentrate on what God asked to do first is to pray and preach. How do you think about the idea? So what happened? The congregation was very happy. Good idea. Let's read the Gedeah 5 and 7. Let's go to the Gedeah. This proposal. As I said, problems exist, always exist in churches. God allows that. In fact, this is a blessing in disguise. God allows these problems to exist so that you can deal with that in a loving manner, so you can learn from each other, encourage one another, exercise your spirit, and build a church. And if you do the right and positive attitude, the church will be blessed. You see, when the apostle was so open-minded, they opened the issue and thought about solution and execute solution, what happened? Three issues, three consequences, you see? First, the congregation was happy. Good idea. So they don't need to leave. There are no two churches, still one church. Maybe Hellenistic Jews and the Hebrew church still stay together. Because the issue was solved. They're very happy. So the congregation was happy. Second one, what happened? Because there's no divisions, then what happened? God multiplied the people. When the church is divided, God will not send people. Because the board God, the church does not glorify his name. But when the church is unified, everyone put on his their weight, although we are not perfect, we try to find a solution together. And this church exhibits the harmony of church, of God. And what happened? God said, okay, I give you some more. I give you some more. And God will multiply the church. That's the second point. The third point, even the enemies get converted. Because it's strong, such a strong testimony. You can see at that time, there are a lot of priests. You know, most of the priests are against Jesus at that time, right? Maybe they're quiet or they're opposed. But seeing this new church, this immersion church, on one hand, there are so many people, and although they're coming from different ethnic origins, they can stay together. There must be God in the midst of them. Let's join them. Even the enemies get converted and join the church. Not a small, many of them. Oh, this is wonderful. You see, God has all it planned already. God allowed this problem to appear of the church so that you can deal with that, when you pray with that, we work together and give glory to the Lord. Because of that, God say, you're worth it. You're worth it. So I'm going to send more people to you, and also say, I even convert the enemies because you bear good witness for me. CCCC is no perfect church. We have our own share of problems. But understand that. It's not accidental. Every church has problems. It's not just a test from God. Can you deal with that according to my instructions? Or you do it in your own way. If you do it in your own way, Satan will have a good time. If you do it in my way, what happened? My name will be glorified. There will be good witness, people added to you, and more importantly, you're satisfied. You're edified. You're happy. So, brothers and sisters, this is your church, your family. Don't sit at the sideline and complain. Let's serve together and build a church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us together to worship on Sunday. Help our church to grow, both spiritually and quantitatively. Qualitatively and quantitatively. There are so many people who are not saved around us. We've got to share the gospel. We have to make disciples. We have to build churches. Use us. We, every one of us, are witnesses. But we kneel down in front of you and confess our sins. And ask you to renew us, strengthen us, help us to love one another. Let's build a church together. Then you'll bless us together. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.